I'm going to make a CM in a few moments. It's in Eloi Nishmaso, my bubby, Charna Devora Bas Shlomo HaKohen, and my wife's grandmother, Mindel Bas Fi Mordechai. So for 13, 14 years ago, my grandfather, my bubby's husband, passed away. I would make a CM every single year, and I would sometimes say the same thing. You know, you try to have different things when you're talking about the same person. You don't want to do 15 of the same things. I can't take my eyes off you.
I feel the same way.
And every year when I wouldn't say this about my Zadie, my bubby would get very upset. So there used to be, you know, before they had like YU Torah and recording devices on phones, there used to be this thing. You had to like call in a number to listen to a shir. There also used to be landlines. I don't know if you guys know from landlines, but my Zadie would, he had a stroke in the last 7 years of his life. He was not in the best of shape, and every single day he would call in. And my bubby always made note of that because no matter what her schedule was, a lot of times he couldn't move, and the effort that she had to be to remind him and to call in, and she had to be there, and she took so much pride in him learning every day, and that always stuck with me. I didn't know my wife's grandmother, and it's not always so easy to get things from my father-in-law about people. Like when I named my son after one of his names after his father, and I had to ask his brother to give me anything to speak about at the brisket. He didn't want to tell me anything. But I've actually there's two things about my father-in-law which I just have to assume came from the house he grew up in. My father-in-law has tremendous respect for rabbis, no matter what. Like, you know, there's no such thing as like bashing the rabbi. Oh, the rabbi's drasha was boring. I mean, you could bash mine. I'm pretty boring. But even if it's really boring, like he doesn't hold from that world. Like he never does it. And I've also never really heard my father-in-law speak Lashon Hara. So I have to assume that only could have come from the home that he grew up in. And that's an amazing, amazing testament to his parents. I don't know when 30 for 30 took place. I have a very, now we're basically at a year. I have a pretty vague perception of when anything's happened in the last year. So if you tell me 30 for 30 took place in like October, I believe you. If you told me it took place in December, you told me it took place yesterday, I probably would believe you. But believe it or not, we were supposed to actually be here when it ended. But I think then there was, I think I was in Bidud. I think then you guys were in Bidud. I was in Bidud. Then you guys were in Bidud. I don't know if you ever had anything, but there's been very, very few things in the last year that gave me as much chizik as that 30 for 30 group. It was really incredible, both from seeing, most of the names were familiar, from seeing all that you guys accomplished and the chizik it gave me to strive to do more. It really was incredible. And as I was discussing with Ethan last week, one of the amazing things of 30 for 30 and what Rabbi Charno is trying to teach you is, this is really what life is all about. It's really feasible. My chavrusa in YU, he told me when he was in Shalavim, one of the rebbeim came and asked everyone, "What's your goal? How much you want to learn per day when you're older?" Okay, see the Shalavim, Shana Alf, maybe Shana Ben. I don't remember when it was the story, and everyone was saying, "I want to learn 12 hours a day. I want to learn 18 hours a day. I want to learn 6 hours a day." So, okay, they may be forgetting that you might get married and you're going to have children and money doesn't grow off trees. And if you learn 18 hours a day, so a friend of mine was just telling me his brother-in-law who learns in Kol, his stipend is a chicken. That's what he gets. The chabura gets, they're given a chicken for Shabbos, okay? I wouldn't mind like if Rabboz came and gave me a chicken, but if that was my salary, we wouldn't be eating much else besides that chicken. But my chavrusa said that he said he wanted to learn 1 hour a day. Okay, so everyone's looking at 1 hour a day. Why are you in Shalavim? You should be somewhere else. Like, what are you doing here, dude? And the rabbi says, after everyone's answers, I want you to all look at that guy. He's the only one whose head is screwed on the right way. Because he's the only one that understood that when life plays itself out and how life is going to be, learning more than an hour a day is very unrealistic. And that's a great, great strive. It's a great goal. And he got that. That's what 30 for 30 is. It's in addition to your normal siddurim, but finding time, realizing that we all have so many moments. We all have so many opportunities where we can make the most of our time. And I'm not going to say the story I said to you, but I have one of my brother's closest friends growing up, Rav Ari Zatz. I don't know if any of you are from Tinek. He's, I think, currently the rabbi of B'nai Yeshurun. I'm by these blank stares. I'm seeing that either none of you know him or none of you go to B'nai Yeshurun. But when he was in Morashah Kolel, he told over that Morashah Kolel, their Shmon Esri is a little longer than Leva Torah. You guys don't realize that, like, when Rabboz isn't here, you wait like 2 extra minutes for Chazaras HaShatz. Like, you don't realize how quickly Rabboz davens. And probably I would say how big of a bracha it is, you know, to be able to start Chazaras HaShah. So in Morashah Kolo, you know, they were holding by like 10 minutes Shemona Esrei's. So Rizad said, you know, maybe I'm not the starkest guy in the world. I didn't have a 10-minute Shemona Esrei. And he said that year of the because you're not allowed to learn during Chazaras HaShas. It's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. Like, it's not something that we're allowed to do. Maybe there's a limud zchus, but, you know, when we try to follow halacha, we're not really supposed to do it. So he said that every day he had about 4 minutes before Shemona Esrei, before Chazaras HaShas, for Shacharis and Mincha, and before Kaddish for Maariv. So 12 minutes a day, and I don't know, camps, let's say 2 months. Back then, you know, now it's a scam. Now camp's like 6 weeks, and they charge more. So back then, camp was longer, they charged less. So, you know, it's just everything in the world become a scam. But he said that year, during that amount of time, he learned Moed Katan. Moed Katan's 28 daf. Now, Rezatz, I'll say this with a lot of confidence, and this will include me, Rabbi Charnoff, Rory, and the rest of you. Wherever you guys are holding, and whenever Rabbi Zatz is at Morashah Kol that year, he can learn on a higher level than every one of us in this room. I'm very confident to make that comment. But with that being said, that's still impressive. Over a 2 month span on 12 minutes a day, he went through a Masechta. And he said the reason he was able to do that was he understood capitalizing on moments. And I don't know if you guys sat for it. I got so much, like, every morning, that like at 7 o'clock, I was leaving shul, and you were saying that you finished. It was, you know, really up, I would be, like, jumping up in the streets of Ramapi Chem, which was so much simcha. It was so geschmack. But it's under, I don't know if you guys did an hour straight. I don't know if you did 20 minutes here, 20 minutes, I don't even know what the rules were. But the fact that you're able to find that extra time really... It really is amazing, and that's what life will be. The Gemara in Shabbos says over that, you know, it's good. A lot of times, you know, when you go to college, it was always nice when you have a test, like you have Masorah, like you know the questions before. It's easier to memorize questions than to memorize the text, at least for me, maybe for you guys not, but than to memorize a textbook. So the Gemara in Shabbos gives us a little cheat sheet. You know, eventually we're all going to die, hopefully in a long time from now, but eventually it's going to happen, and God's going to ask us some questions. It might be a little scary if we don't know them, but the Gemara in Shabbos throws us a major bone. It tells us the questions God's going to ask, and one of them is going to be, were you kovei yitim? Did you set aside time for learning? And an hour a day, it's amazing. It's putting that already, and I hope each of you have taken on and have continued to do it since 30 for 30, but to realize that it's an incredible, incredible schuz, an incredible, incredible petach for life. Okay, Mishkan Shiloh, the shul next door, they put together a siyum of shas every, I think, Purim, the night of Purim. So I had signed up to do Kedushin, which I had started before Daf Yomi began. And then when I started Daf Yomi, I forgot that I still had to do the end of Kedushin. So the last little bit of time, I was working on Kedushin. So there's an interesting thing that keeps coming up in Kedushin, like the honesty in relationships. So let's say I'm dating a girl, and I want to really make myself out to be geschmack. Any of you live like Maine, New Hampshire area? And I think that's like the most beautiful place in America. But let's say, I'm not even going to go that far-fetched. We'll just use like Teaneck and Fairland. They're like 15 minutes away from each other. So let's say, you know, I'm dating and I tell the girl I'm from Teaneck. You know, like Fairland, you know, now like people have moved to Fairland. But like when I was growing up, Fairland, you know, may have had like a reputation of, you know, whatever. It wasn't Teaneck, you know. We'll call it that. It wasn't Teaneck. So I tell the girl, you know, I'm from Teaneck. Or like maybe I say I'm from Shalvim and not Levator. You know, whatever it might be that I think is going to make me look better in the eye of the Shidduch. And then the girl finds out I'm from Fairlawn. We make Kedushin off that? It's no longer good. Because we made a Kedushin that was off in error. And let's say I say I have my farm in Teaneck, but I really live in Fairlawn. But okay, I said the wrong thing. And the Gemara goes on to say, even if I say, you don't have to do anything, sweetheart. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to make the trek every day from Teaneck to, you know, the Gemara, they didn't have cars. So like going to Teaneck to Fairlawn might have taken a long time back in the time. They also didn't have Teaneck and Fairlawn, but, you know, assuming in the world they did. Even I thought, sweetie, you can do everything. Go to the spa. Go to get your nails done every day. You don't do anything. I'm going to do all the work. The Gemara says it's not a good Kedushin because we started off on a lie. And it got me thinking that, like, in relationships in general, how important it is to really be fully honest. And, you know, I was just telling this to my sister, and, you know, a lot, you'll get to a point where, maybe you already are there, but, you know, I hold basically every Shanav relationship never works. So if you're currently dating someone, you know, don't anticipate that being the person that, you know, you'll be meeting at the chuppah. But maybe you never know. What do you think, right, Charnoff?
I'll share my opinions after Mark's side.
Okay. But in any event, that how important it is that our relationships really do start off with just being completely honest and not trying to be like, oh, I have this, I have that, and trying to make things up to make you be more impressive. And I know a crazy story. I mean, I told Ron Tato, he said it's one of the craziest stories he ever heard. That a couple I knew, they were married for years, and this is obviously a little different than saying I have farm in Teaneck as opposed to Fairlawn, but the husband said every day, yeah, I go to work, I'm a lawyer. I go to work every day as a lawyer. And they came, I don't know how they paid bills, you know, it doesn't matter, but it comes out, like 2 years later, the guy never had a job. So what was he doing every day? It's okay that they got divorced because probably, you know, the story leads to a lot more that's going on than just a story. But the point is, and that's on like a really, really major level, but even on a small level where you try to be like, do something to just make yourself more impressive, any relationship that starts not on MS is never going to be Mekayin. As my grandmother, not the one who this is in memory of, but as my grandmother would say, and everyone said that at the Hespit when she passed away a couple of years ago, that my grandmother never lied. It's like, why didn't I lie? Like, when you lie, you have to be really smart because you're always caught in a lie. Like, you have to remember a lot. If you always tell the truth, it's easy. Like, you know, if I try to say, let's say, like, I wanted to pretend, like, let's write Charlie. Like, he was a Nachshon. So, you know, if you know anybody who's young, who's not completely Haredi, who's moving to Ramat Beit Shemesh, they ain't living on Nachshon. That ain't exactly where, you know, the Datilumi young people are moving. So let's say he's like, you know, he likes talking to people. Like, you know, I don't want people to know I live on Nachshon. Like, no, I live in Mishkapayim. I live in Mishkapayim. I live in Ben Shalosh. I live in Ramat Shivo. Yeah, no, oh, I've heard of those. So now, Rabbi Chartoff needs to remember that he said that because he got himself caught in a lie. But if he's willing to deal with, like, yeah, whatever, it's not so geschmack, or he happens to like it, but okay. If he happens to, like, just be like, you know, I live a nach on Nachshon, he's never backing himself into a lie. It's just always much better. And the Gemara, like, it really, like, is like 5-10 cases it keeps talking about, it like, being completely honest. So they can have different levels of honesty, but the Gemara is really giving us incredible insight into what relationships are, and especially, like, you know, as time has evolved, you know, it's not just, oh, you met someone, like, you know, the story with, you know, Yaakov and Rachel and with Eliezer, like, you know, meeting Rivka, like, that's not really what dating is today. Dating's a whole, you know, drawn-out relationship or beautiful relationship, but it has to all stand on the premise of emes and to really take that in. The end of Maseches Kedushin talks a lot about Yichud. I'm not going to talk about Yichud. I'm just going to say that Yichud is just a gedder for worse things that can happen. So don't get yourself into issues of Yichud, and don't get yourself into issues of worse things that can happen.
Will happen.
And Yichud actually is, if you ever do want to learn it, Yichud actually is a really fascinating thing. And just one story that really did stick in my head is there was a rabbi. He happened to be close with his chaver's wife, and he was staying like in the upper balcony. And when the chaver left, they had to move the ladder. They had to move the ladder away. So if he wanted to get to his friend's wife, he was gonna have to take quite a jump. And unless we're holding my Home Alone, where you could just fall down tons and tons of stories and not get hurt, you know, and just get right back up 3 seconds later, he probably wasn't going to have to do anything. And the reason he did that, and they say it wasn't really an issue of Yichud, it was two separate rooms, but the reason why he did that was because he understood how great a risk it could be. So if Rabbanim that are quoted in the Gemara and Maseches Kedushin are nervous about what Yichud could be, you know, it could be. It could be every Shana Aleph guy in Rabbi Charno show, you guys, you know, you guys, he runs you tough. He may have you, like, on the level like Rabbi Akiva and, you know, Rav and Abaya, but the likelihood is that he doesn't. If that's the case, you know, you have to, should probably understand that it's not just to make our lives inconvenient, but to make sure that, God forbid, nothing bad will ever happen. Okay. Rabbi Nehorai, the end of Maseches Kedushin, the Omer Maniach Ani Kol Meros, he would put aside every trade. He didn't hold that you had to work. He held that the Torah was everything, and you know, you'll figure out how to make life. That's a major machlokus in the Gemara and Brachos. Morty was Zocha to finish a few days ago. Maseches Brachos about whether or not one should learn or one should learn and work at the beginning of the sixth parent. So Tani, Rabbi Nehorayim, Rabbi Niach, Ani, Kol, Minos, Biolam. I put aside every trade, every job. It wasn't Shaiach. But Enam, Elam, Esbani, Elot, Torah. I only taught my son Torah. Shakol Umunah Shibolam. This is an important idea to try to chab. For every job, Eino Medido El Bimei Yalduso. So when I'm working, I'm only seeing the benefit of my job when I'm working. So let's say I'm an actuary. So I work as an actuary. You know, times are obviously very different. I make my salary. And then when I'm done working as an actuary, you know, they didn't have, in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have 401ks. You know, they didn't have if Mr. Naaman explaining to us, like, what pension plan we want to have. They didn't have things like that going on. You worked, you made your meager salary, you had that, and at the end of the day, you either never retired or when you retired, you know, you basically went into poverty. So Araya is saying, who needs that? If anyway I'm going to get to that point, what's the point of working to start? When you're older, you're going to be hungry. You're not going to be able to eat. You know, they weren't going to Papagayo. They couldn't afford it anymore. About Torah ain't okay. Torah doesn't work that way. When you're young, you have Torah. And when you get older, it still stays with you. It never leaves you. So if I spent my whole life learning Torah, you know, it's gonna stay with you. As Rosh Hashanah said on this piece to me, you have to just understand, you know, not that life is better now, but life was much simpler back then. So there was nothing to think about. Like, this really was their position. Like, now, if I work for my whole life, so, you know, I'm also putting away money, I'm also putting into retirement funds, so I'm hoping that when I retire, it's not that I have nothing and that, like, my working was... And you could also say, even if that is true, so what about the 40 years that you worked? At least 40 years you were able to eat, you know. In this case, you were never able to eat. So the Asiyah do some out woman. So what does this mean that it never leaves? The Koya Hashem Yahu Koch Yabi Eva Kishin Sharim, and those with hope in it's in Hashem, their strength will be renewed. This case of Omer, Odimu say God, Yashim Rani with you, that you'll be vigorous like you were when you were young. So the Torah is gonna be able to stick with you forever. So he's trying to say that's a shayach point. So I'll say on that, not that I want to argue with Rabbi Noorai, and a lot of, it may be that if he came down, you know, into 2021 in Rabbi Charno's year, he might see things a little differently also. But, the one point of this that we definitely have to take with us and get back to what we started with the whole 30 for 30 thing is that it doesn't mean that Torah has to be, you know, we're going in, I mean, probably it's not shy, probably none of you are planning to go into kol, but it doesn't mean that we have to spend our whole life going into kol. But what each and every one of us has an echray is to do, and that includes, you know, anyone, guys, whatever you're doing, everyone has a responsibility to have Torah be a portion and a chelak of their day. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves, it's definitely went on in Ramaz, and MTA, they would never pull a shtick in this, is that first period is math, or history, or science. I don't care if you want to learn 11 minutes a day, if that's what you want to do, but your first period better be Torah, because that's what we do. Our day starts with Torah. After Shacharis, you know, you have 5 minutes, and then you go and work. But it shouldn't be... Torah should be the ikkar of what our component is, and at least should be the very first thing that we are doing. And when you'll get to that point, you know, it's easier when you're in yeshiva. It's not so, even, you know, obviously not in this year, but even if you're in a shir where you sleep in, or, you know, or even if Charnov, you know, if, like, you know, if they had recruiting, if you got into America for a week and you guys would have had a break of him not being here, so you could have slept in, but he would obviously never let that go in. Is to understand, like, it's not, life won't be like this. Life won't be, oh, we have morning theater, afternoon theater, night theater, break time, etc. Like, it really will be about finding time and finding opportunities to make Torah be a focal part of your life. And especially for those of you that will not be, I mean, hopefully none of you, but for those of you that will not be joining us again next year and will be going on to college, and to really take that point in, that Torah is always going to be, you know, some premise of our day. I don't think it has to be that it has to be totally, completely all that we are doing, but it has to be a major part. Just on a personal note, it's a very special for me coming back to Maseches Kedushin. This is what I did Shana Aleph. It wasn't the first Maseches I finished, but it was the first one when I actually didn't have to. We'll do that after the recording. We'll say the story. But when I didn't have to finish something to graduate high school, it was the first Maseches that I finished. So coming back to Kedushin was very, very sweet. And a lot of the Gemaras, I can actually visualize when I was sitting in Rav Natanel Shir 15 years ago, Shana Aleph, and him talking about these Gemaras and him, you know, putting it, instilling it into our mind. It was literally like I was back in 2005 and 2006, and it was very, very special. All right. Hadron Allah Maseches Kedushin, the Hadra Chalad. Rav Ami Hadron Rav Ami Adi Hadron Alach Meseches Kedushim Hadrach Alon. Daisan Alach Meseches Kedushim Daisach Alon. Rav Nisim Alach Meseches Kedushim Rav Nisim Alach Meseches Kedushim Rav Ami Hadron Rav Ami Adi. Just Derech Agav. Rav Tana will tell me I got married a little later in life at 26. So I mean, I guess it's all relative if that's later in life or not, but. Rav Tana said a lot of times you have to put the ball in Hashem's court. So if you're ever at a point where you feel like, not now, but if you're ever at a point where you feel like you're a little older and you want to get married, so he says, open up Maseches Kedushin, Maseches Ksubis. Because once you're learning Maseches that are talking about marriage, you know, then you know, you're kind of telling Hashem, like you're giving him an ultimatum. Not that we could ever be that disrespectful to think we have the right to give a Kaddish Baruch Hu an ultimatum, but you know, at least we're trying to do more Hashtadah. So something to whoever you send the recording to can know that you know, if he's 25 and single wants to get a shidduch, he's got to learn the Maseches Kedushin. Yehira Sobim Fanecha Adonai Levas Hesheyteh Torah Sechu Unil Mazeh Hutim Ranal Hom Bav Chanina Bar Papa Rabbi Bar Papa Nachman Bar Papa Achai Bar Papa Abba Mori Bar Papa Rafa Bar Papa Rakhim Bar Papa Surcha Bar Papa Adar Bar Papa Dar Bar Papa. This is going to bother Charan so much. I'm going to go on a tangent even through the Hadron. But before I started having to make these siyums in yeshiva, my minhag has been for years now to make siyums at home for my wife, because all the learning I do is only by her allowing me either to learn at night or allowing me to wake up early, and her inherently waking up early. But I say this point every time. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about, if you ever know that you make the siyum, you say Papa a lot. Papa gets a lot of real estate here. The Gemara in Kedushin Dogs, where Papa used to sponsor the siyums for the Bachers when they would make Siyam. So for that reason, because of that, he makes his way into Siyam. He obviously held very high of Siyam. So if that's, I don't know, that's not me saying the yeshiva as an achrayas, but it is saying that every time you make a Siyam, there should be some good. So that's why we're going to have these things after, and I'm still in my fast. Hadar of Noah, Adonai, Lens, Yerais, or Asecha, but Fina, Dom, Chav, Beis, Zor, Niyah, Nachlus, Tetzem, Chav, Beis, Okulana, Yodesh, Mecha, Anu amim kamen schar, the heim amim enu kamen schar. Anu razim heim razim, anu razim chaye aholam above the heim razim ver shachas. Chenemer atel hinder dim ver shachas and shed amim mer loy yechazu yemen and echtach bach. This is talking about people that are doing things and people that are doing things. The guy who was shun a bet last year, he was telling me, he thinks this is pshat about being shun a bet and being in secular college. When you're shun a bet, you're running to Torah. When you're in secular college, well, you're not running to Torah. You can look at the modem, what exactly it said that we're doing.
Sit down, move, muzzle, go.